I think we are at the beginning of a second tech bubble and an entrepreneurship bubble that I have actually experienced before, I have witnessed before, and I see it again, where valuations are such that we are giving companies, startups, billion-dollar valuations when they haven't figured out how to be profitable and maybe haven't even figured out how to get to revenue yet. And that, to me, is a non-sustainable model.
You're listening to New Ideas, a Ronald Williams Library podcast about faculty research at Northeastern Illinois University. This is Ed Remus, the social sciences librarian.
And I'm Alyssa Vincent, the digital scholarship librarian. Today's episode has Henry Owen, our business librarian, talking with Marge Johnson, the director of Northeastern Illinois University's Business Innovation and Growth Center. I got to listen in on their conversation, and it was interesting to hear specifically about Marge's work with the AARP to help people who are 50 years and older develop entrepreneurial skills.
So, Alyssa, we were talking before this interview was recorded about how neither of the two of us has a strong background in business and economics. I'm the social sciences librarian. You're the librarian for art, communication, media, theater. And so I'm curious, as you were in the room during this episode, as it was being recorded, what to you struck you as surprising, maybe as something you hadn't expected to encounter about entrepreneurship?
Both Henry and Marge are so well-equipped to explain concepts about entrepreneurship and business and economics in a really clear and level-headed way. But one thing that I thought was so interesting that Marge brought up was bringing down entrepreneurship to a more human level. At least what I know about entrepreneurship is very much kind of, I think, what's happened in the last couple of decades, which is these large venture capital firms investing in apps or investing in companies that actually have yet to turn a profit, but they rapidly scale and they try to get more employees and they're constantly pushing a new iteration of a product, again, without ever actually having made a profit. So I think when I think of entrepreneurship, I'm really imagining, you know, a WeWork situation, which, if you're watching the news, has kind of spectacularly failed in the recent months. And what I loved hearing about Marge talk about was this sense of making entrepreneurship what it essentially is. It's about wanting to build something for yourself and wanting to work for yourself and then for others. It's about having this mindset that wants to improve upon something in a unique way. And that was just such a helpful human-centered way to think about entrepreneurship that I really hadn't before.
Well, I certainly have come to that more one-sided misconception of entrepreneurship as chiefly involving Silicon Valley, as exemplified by something like WeWork. So I'm really glad to be able to share this episode with our listeners where we'll get a different side of it. So without further ado, here is Marge and Henry.
Thank you, Alyssa. The Oxford English Dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who sets up a business or businesses taking on financial risks. Marge, I understand that you've been a serial entrepreneur, starting a business, and then starting another one, and starting another one. Could you please tell us a little bit about your path to becoming an entrepreneur? And what your experience has been as a female entrepreneur?
Thank you, Henry. So I think first off, as being an entrepreneur, I think I always knew that that was part of my path. Even the first business I started was when I was 5 years old. So I think it's just always been in me. My family didn't have a lot of money, and I thought we needed more, and in fact, I thought I needed more. So I kept looking for ways to start businesses, make money. My family was socially oriented. My mother and father started soup kitchens, and to me, they were feeding people. But I got a chance early on when I was 16 to work for an entrepreneur, and I saw that he was teaching people to fish, is as I looked at it. He was creating jobs and giving prosperity through self-reliance. So I convinced my parents that business wasn't as bad of an idea as they seemed to think that it was, and that entrepreneurship was actually doing good things for people. So that's been part of my path. The female entrepreneur piece, I didn't really think about for a long time. I am female, so it was a fact I had to accept. I grew up in male-oriented industries. The first entrepreneur I worked for was in the construction industry. I was in finance and accounting positions. So I think I always am kind of an optimist. And so I viewed being a female gave me something competitively different than others. But as an educator of entrepreneurship, what I see is that there were also a lot of obstacles that I chose to not acknowledge so much. Obstacles like access to capital. What that meant was that I became a bootstrapping entrepreneur. I didn't seek capital because I didn't even expect to get it. I made sure I had profitable operations. But now as I seek to grow entrepreneurship across the country and realize there's only 17% of women starting businesses, I'm actively looking for ways to level the playing field with access to capital for women and every marginalized or underrepresented entrepreneurship category.
I understand you're currently working on your DBA. What led you to academia?
Thank you for that question. And, you know, at age 50 plus, and I won't say how many plus years there are on top of that, it is sometimes a little, a big question, what makes you go back and work on your doctorate degree. But I really am worried about entrepreneurship in this country. I'm worried about things like senior poverty. I'm worried about poverty overall. And there are two proven ways to help move people out of poverty, to help improve lives. One is education and another is entrepreneurship. And so I look at both of those and say, how can we, what is it that I can figure out in research and then apply in pilots and then apply on a scalable level to change public policy, to turn on that entrepreneurship engine and to elevate people through their own self-reliance. Entrepreneurship allows us to take the gifts we're given in life and turn it into our life's work and a prosperous dream that's sustainable. So those are my goals.
Have you seen any changes in the landscape of entrepreneurship over the last decade or so?
And given that I've been in the field for three decades plus, I have seen changes, and I have seen that things are the same. I think we are at the beginning of a second tech bubble and an entrepreneurship bubble that I have actually experienced before, I have witnessed before, and I see it again, where valuations are such that we are giving companies, startups, billion-dollar valuations when they haven't figured out how to be profitable and maybe haven't even figured out how to get to revenue yet. And that, to me, is a non-sustainable model. And the first time that that happened, I said, I'm not investing in that. And then there was the tech bubble. And now we're seeing that again. You know, the WeWork IPO failed. And but those things, to me, are the extremes on a spectrum of entrepreneurship. And I'm much more interested in the entrepreneurship that has existed in this country since the founding of the country, which is mainstream entrepreneurs, people who start businesses in every industry that we have. Every major company, every company at all that we have in the United States was started by an entrepreneur. We didn't have royalty that then sold these businesses off. We have bootstrapping entrepreneurs that went out, found a way to turn what it is that they do into a viable business. So I'm looking to make that be where the entrepreneurship growth comes from. So I say entrepreneurship has changed in a way in that people have stepped away from understanding the need for hard work. I see too many people thinking, if I've got a good idea and I can do a good pitch, millions of dollars of startup capital are going to come to me, and that it should come to me. That's just not the bootstrapping entrepreneur that are the majority of entrepreneurs in this country. Majority in numbers, not necessarily majority in billions of dollars of revenue. So I'm here to help everybody else.
So you're not a Shark Tank person?
I find Shark Tank in between, in that I like the Shark Tank model, where somebody who has capital connects with an entrepreneur and invests in their idea in such a way that it gives the idea scale that it never could have got to without that outside investor and that outside mentor's connections. And so without the reality TV piece of the Shark Tank, the real life piece of what that means for those businesses, I think, is incredible and is some of what I'd like to replicate here at NEIU.
Okay. Which came first, the big center or AARP?
So first off, let me just say again that the big center is the Business Innovation and Growth Center, and I like the big piece. Our students here at NEIU are working on a logo and hopefully a better tagline for us, so maybe the next time you have me on your show, Henry, I'll have a better phraseology for us on the branding. In fact, we do have 140 students right now here at NEIU working with the entrepreneurs on various projects to promote their businesses, which I'm really excited about. We tested that last semester with 20 students. It was very successful. We moved to 140 this semester. So first off, getting back to which came first, big or AARP, they were kind of simultaneous. As I mentioned, I was interested in growing entrepreneurship across the country. We've been at flat or declining rates since the 1970s in business startups, so I'm very concerned about that. But senior poverty is a huge issue. 35% of those age 60 plus have less than $10,000 in retirement savings. 53% of us, as I mentioned, are being partially forced or fully forced into retirement right at the time we thought we'd be saving for retirement for 10 to 15 more years. There's a study by Professor Cook who indicates that the actuarial forecasts are that Social Security will be bankrupt in 2034, which is 14 years from now. So I say that's a major crisis looking to happen. I talked with the senior economist at the Atlantic Magazine at a Workforce of the Future conference, and he and I talked offline for about half an hour afterwards, and he said he thinks it's the biggest issue facing America that no one is talking about. So I say, how can I grow entrepreneurship? How can I improve the income level of senior citizens? And I'm counting senior as age 50 plus. And this intersection of the two is a real sweet spot. It's a golden, it's a silver lining. It's where entrepreneurs are thriving in encore careers, creating jobs, creating revenue that grows GDP, gross domestic product for the country. So I'm doing all that I can to make both happen. And luckily, AARP Foundation listened to me in the beginning. Concordia University and Northeastern Illinois University listened to me. And I've had the really good fortune over the last 2 years to be able to work on the development of both of those programs simultaneously.
Wow. Okay, so your AARP Foundation grant focuses on helping older adults develop skills for self-employment. You know, that kind of ties in with this quote that I came across. As jobs and entire industries evolve, people at all stages of their lives and careers must think and act like an entrepreneur in order to survive. What led you to apply for the grant? Was it in part a belief that certain aspects of entrepreneurship can be taught?
I really like that question, Henry. In management, in the College of Business, in the field of management, we teach that leaders are made, not born. And I think the question about entrepreneurship, are you made or born, is similar. My answer, as you might guess, is another both. I do believe that there is something inside of people naturally for areas in which they're talented. And for me, that desire to be an entrepreneur was always inside me. A lot of entrepreneurs I know, and in most of the research that I've read, has said that there is something, there is this desire to be an entrepreneur. But at the same time, there's only in the last decade or so has there even been entrepreneurship education. When I was getting my MBA at Northwestern, which was a couple of decades ago, there were no entrepreneurship classes. So I think that teaching entrepreneurship helps improve the success rate of those who already felt like they wanted to do it. And as with anything, some people are better at certain things right out of the box. But other people perfect and master those, sometimes even because it was a weakness of theirs that then they worked at improving. So both. You can be born as an entrepreneur. You can be made as an entrepreneur. AARP does teach does focus on self-employment, which is actually the Coleman Foundation's definition of entrepreneurship, which is self-employment through ownership of a business. So I say all of those avenues are interesting. I go back to the looking to help make people self-sufficient in ways to use their skill sets.
Your big center model for AARP involves cohorts. Can you explain what a cohort is and does?
So the research in a lot of the teaching methodologies indicate that people learn better in groups. And so a cohort is a group of entrepreneurs that come together to learn how to start their business, learn how to launch their business. And what we have found in the cohort model is that it helps keep them motivated even on their own business. It is they derail in multiple areas, which is going to happen, that they've got each other as a group to reinforce staying on track. And it accelerates the learning. If as you're going through a process and you're looking at something like maybe a revenue forecast, looking at other people's businesses quite often gives you insights to your own. The cohorts have also been working, sharing leads, sharing information on trade shows, helping each other with suppliers, and even forming new ventures with each other. So some of the people that have come through our programming, two of the entrepreneurs formed up in another venture and were one of the first cannabis dispensary license applicants.
I'm aware of that because I helped one of them who came through a cohort and she was looking to use hemp to replace concrete as a recyclable item in building.
Right, hempcrete, yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so she hooked up with someone else in another cohort in terms of doing a dispensary in Illinois since marijuana is now legal here.
Exactly, yes. And Henry, you have been amazing working with our entrepreneurs. The first module that we have is an industry and market research module where they really need to understand the marketplace for their business and understand whether there are growth trends in the industry or if there are new threats on the horizon. And you, as you know, but I'm saying this for our audience, you actually work with the entrepreneurs. You come in and teach one of our classes on how to use research tools such as IBIS World. And then if they want to schedule individual appointments with you, you meet individually with them. You have helped a number of the entrepreneurs research their industry. And so many of them don't have business experience when they come to us. They could be an engineer, they could be a doctor in their field, but they don't know anything about the business world. And you help them with that over and over again, including somebody who should have known. We had one of our entrepreneurs who had worked for Nielsen, a $6 billion data analytics company, and you were helping her with the downloads of data that she needed from various databases. So I just want to thank you for really making a difference with our entrepreneurs, Henry. Thank you.
Thank you, Marge. Northeastern recently opened the Business Innovation and Growth Center. That seems to be focused on building relationships with enterprising community members. Why was the center created? What are some of its achievements so far? And what are the future plans for the center?
Thank you. Great questions that I love to answer. So why the center was created, there were certainly my own individual missions, like growing entrepreneurship. But for Northeastern Illinois University, the Business Innovation and Growth Center really helps them move forward with their mission. They are an urban-serving institution with three urban locations, three urban campuses, throughout the Chicago area. This allows them to offer programming that is much needed not only by the community members at large, but by the 60-plus thousand alumni that we have in the Illinois area, the 29-plus thousand alumni that we have here in the Chicago area. Northeastern and the communities that they are in, the Avondale area, the Bronzeville area, here at the main campus. We're in communities where there are family businesses, small businesses that have been the anchors of these communities for decades. And so this continues the tradition of supporting those kind of businesses, those sort of residents, and who is a huge part of the NEIU alumni base. So this outreach of the Business Innovation and Growth Center helps the university continue what's been a big piece of their mission since the founding. It also provides entrepreneurship experience for our students. Our students tend to not be full-time working solely on their degrees. They're commuter students, like I was when I was a bachelor candidate. And so you're working full-time, you're going to school full-time, and then you hear that prospective employers want you to have experience, internships in the fields that you're getting your education in. But usually that's not where you have your job. Your job is in the job that you could get before you started your education, not in the job that you would expect once you've completed your education, once you've received your degree. And one of the hottest areas for experience is entrepreneurship and innovation. So for NEIU students, they get a chance in the classroom, in the course of their four-credit coursework, to work with entrepreneurs, real-life entrepreneurs, on things like logo development or an elevator video pitch or a revenue forecast or a marketing plan. And they get that real life experience while they're in the classroom. And our entrepreneurs benefit because they're getting really free help from the students who get the opportunity to gain entrepreneurial experience without stepping out of the classroom. So it's just a win for everyone. And I love because it's also a prototype of multi-generational, intergenerational collaboration, which is where the U.S. workforce is going. It has to, because those of us age 50 plus have to keep working for who knows how long. So that answers the creation question. Let me go to the achievements very quickly, and then our plans for the future. The AARP program, I've been the sole grantee in the state of Illinois for the first 2 years. Now we're bringing other grantees on board as well. But in the first 2 years, we've had over 200 persons attend the entrepreneurial readiness workshops. And those are the workshops that are from the AARP Foundation as part of a national grant. So we have the grant in Illinois. But there are other grants across the country. I think we're now up to 40-plus grantees. So this is a program that's working very well and expanding rapidly. As far as the Big Center goes, we've now had, in addition to the workshop participants, in the last year that we've been in operations, we've had 50 people start our business planning courses. We've had 32 of those successfully complete all of the courses and get a certificate in business planning from Northeastern Illinois University. We've had 9 people that are still in the process, so they started but they haven't finished. And then we have 9 people that actually dropped out. And the dropout rate for us has actually been lower than what you would see nationally with business planning courses. Business planning is kind of where the entrepreneur has to get serious about whether this thing is going to make any money or not and how much effort it's going to take. And while the rates across the country are about a 50% drop rate when people start a business planning course, we're much lower than that. But I am also appreciative that I would much rather see somebody figure out on paper or in a spreadsheet that it's not going to work rather than after they've thrown a lot of their hard-earned money or their retirement savings into starting something and then find it's not making money. So even with the people who drop, I still consider those a success in helping them have a better life. Where we're going from here, the future, as a startup that's only, and we, the Big Center, are also a startup. We've only existed for a year. But two of the major initiatives that I'm looking to add on to the programming are an accelerator program that we have been closely working with the City of Chicago's Department of Planning to develop over the last year and a half. I'm not at the point where I can announce that program yet, other than it's getting very, very close to finalization. So we're very excited about that. It would be a pilot program to see if we can take the business planning entrepreneurs and help them get to first revenue and access to capital. Now, coming back to the biggest obstacle for underrepresented populations in entrepreneurship. We're also looking to start a seed investment type program. There's a federal grant that could hopefully help provide some seed money to us to set up the operations for the seed fund. But right now, as my vision, and it's literally in the concept stage, it would be awesome to have all those NEIU alum, have all the community members be able to invest in the entrepreneurs' businesses, the mainstream businesses that are anchoring their communities. And Obama's Job Act has allowed for crowdfunding now at these levels. So it's part of the programming we're looking forward to introducing. In closing, I would just like to say, while I would like to see entrepreneurship grow, I think we really have to, as a country, focus on the underrepresented populations. Only 1% of businesses are started by African Americans. Only 2-3% are started by Latinos. Only 17% are started by women. That could be a daunting fact, or it can be an incredible opportunity to grow entrepreneurship. And you can guess that that's how I consider it, an incredible opportunity for growing entrepreneurship, for helping people improve their own lives, and to hopefully, wouldn't it be awesome, to take a dent in reducing poverty in this country. Thank you.
Do you see Mayor Lightfoot's efforts as encouraging entrepreneurship, because she wants to raise the income level of the poor areas of Chicago? So this is off the cuff. So just what do you see about that? What do you think about her efforts, I should say?
So I saw on the news that she announced that she's going to do a poverty summit. And I say, well, that's if we start talking about problems, then we can do something to solve them. If we don't talk about problems, then we won't address them at all. So I'm glad to see that we're going to start talking about the problem. I have never had a conversation with Mayor Lightfoot, nor been in the room when she's discussed what her initiatives are on poverty. So I can't really give an opinion on that, but I am happy to see the conversation and the attention.
Thank you, Marge, for being with us today.
Thank you, Henry, for all the work that you have been doing and for allowing me to be on the podcast. Thank you.
You've been listening to Henry Owen interview Marge Johnson, Director of Northeastern Illinois University's Business Innovation and Growth Center.
If you enjoyed their conversation, please consider tuning into our other podcast episodes available for streaming at NEIU Digital Commons.
This episode featured a sample of the song Tundra by Scanglobe. Thanks to Jonathan Gronley for editing and producing this episode as well.